Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And even though I didn't give you the reference of that passage, you know quite well where that comes from. It comes from Ephesians chapter 1. And those are only the first four verses of our longer passage that we've been reading ever since the beginning of the year, which is the beginning of 2023, as I want to make clear this evening. So we've only been reading these verses for a relatively short period of time. I hope that you have grown to appreciate these verses already. They are good verses, aren't they? Of course, all the verses in the Bible are good verses, but these are very precious verses. These are meaningful verses. And our hope is, our desire is, as we read these verses more and more this year, and by the time we get to December of this year, I hope that we very well know the words of these verses, and we understand the truths of these passages, and we have them hidden within our hearts, and we continually draw them back into our memory and into our thought process. And wouldn't you agree with me this evening that it's amazing, it's truly wonderful, the plan that God has for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a plan that stretches all the way back in time, even to before this world was created. Indeed, I would say that this plan was formed even before there was any time at all. God has an amazing plan for us in Jesus Christ. And as we think about the current time, God is currently fulfilling his plan for us, for his church, and that plan still stretches ahead into the future, doesn't it? And we look ahead to that future day when we will be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And what a glorious day that will be, when we are like Jesus Christ. And there's so much that we can thank God for, so many things to praise him for. And we've had testimony services before around Thanksgiving time, at other times of the year as well. And there are so many things to thank God for this evening, so many things to praise him for. But this evening, I want us to be thanking God and praising God, especially as we contemplate all that God has given us in Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Paul does whenever he begins his letter to the Ephesians. He lifts up his voice and his heart, and he takes his pen, or whoever was writing this for him, but the words of praise are recorded for us, words of praise to God for all that we have in Jesus Christ. As we think about Paul, out of the many other believers that were there on the earth at that point in time, Paul had been chosen of God in a special way to receive revelation from God, to be the apostle of the Gentiles. So Paul had special insight into the plan of God and how that plan was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul would have passed along many of the things that he received from God. He taught these things to the church. But Paul had keen insight into God's work in the present age. He recognized that God's grace and God's mercy had been bestowed upon him personally. God had saved him from his sins. God had delivered him, even wrenched him from his misguided persecution of the church. God called him to be one of his most ambitious heralds of the gospel. And Paul realized, no doubt, that God was using him in a special way. And Paul was not negligent to thank God and to praise God. Yes, God had done much in his own personal life, but God was doing so much in the lives of his fellow believers. So much to praise God for. And as Paul lifted up his voice in praise to God, yes, he realized God the Father had bestowed many blessings, and those blessings come through the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and the Holy Spirit is very much involved in this whole process as well. And so we have the triune Godhead involved in Paul's directing of praise to him. So it's little wonder that Paul begins in Ephesians chapter 1 with a word of praise and thanksgiving. And it's a rather extended word of praise and thanksgiving. As you compare Ephesians with other books of the Bible, as we think of the New Testament, It seems as if Ephesians has a very extended word of praise here at the beginning of his letter. And you compare this with other letters, and you wonder, well, why didn't Paul begin each of his letters like this, with an extended word of praise to God? And perhaps at this point in time when he was writing this letter, maybe his heart was especially overflowing with joy and thanksgiving as he contemplated all that God was doing for the church at large, the grace that was bestowed upon the church from the Father through Jesus Christ. This evening, we're going to focus in on two verses of our scripture reading, verses 3 and 4 of Ephesians chapter 1. And really, if we had the time, we would be spending the evening, and it really would be the evening, and maybe even going into the early morning, looking at verses 3 through 14. Okay, that would be one sentence in the Greek text. And that's really, you know, the entirety of Paul's prayer, if we want to say that. His word of praise here, and of course he continues on even after that as far as what he has to say. But verses 3 through 14 in the Greek and in the language in which Paul wrote, it sure seems as if it's one long sentence, doesn't it? And so, really, it'd be great to look at that entire passage in whole, but we'd be here for a very long time, and that would be okay. But for the sake of time, and so that we aren't maybe overwhelmed, and maybe overwhelmed in a good sense, but we're going to be just looking at two verses and pinpointing our focus and our attention on these two verses and the truths that are very evident in them. So Ephesians chapter 1, and maybe we've read this enough that you don't even need to turn in your Bible with me, but Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and how does Paul begin his word of praise? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, just meditating upon that one verse, that verse is filled with so much truth, isn't it? And Paul begins this verse by blessing God. And really what Paul does here as far as blessing God, this is something that godly men and godly women had done throughout the ages. As they consider who God is, as they bow down in grateful worship of Him, as they thank Him, as they worship Him, they many times use the word of blessing, bless God, which in other words means praise God. Those really are synonymous in a very real way. You think about Noah. Quite a long time before Paul ever was born, we have Noah praising God with these words, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So Noah, blessing God, praising God, the God of Shem. We go ahead to Genesis chapter 9 and verse, or actually that was Genesis 9 verse 26 that I just read. Melchizedek, or maybe I may have my references mixed up here. But we have, yes, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. We jump ahead in time to the account of Abraham and Melchizedek. Melchizedek, king of Salem. And Melchizedek used these words after Abraham, or Abram at this time, had won a military victory over the kings. And Melchizedek used these words, blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. Okay, so the Genesis 9 passage going with Noah. And then further on in Genesis, we have Melchizedek using these words, blessed be the Most High God. We have Abraham's servant. We just studied this in Sunday school. After God led him to Rebekah, what did Abraham's servant say? Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. We jump ahead to Exodus. We have Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. He praises God and he says, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Okay, we go to the book of Psalms, and time after time after time, we read about blessing directed toward the Lord. Blessed be the Lord in Psalm 28, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Psalm 31, verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Psalm 41, verse 13, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. And we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? How godly men and godly women direct praise to God, and they use this word, blessed. Blessed be God. And we find different contexts of praise. We have different reasons why God is praised. And here Paul offering praise to God, and he uses this well-known word, blessed. Now, earlier in some of the passages, we read about blessed be the God of Shem. Okay, so we have an individual, Shem. We read about other ways God is described, you know, the God of Israel, perhaps we could say, in other passages. But here in Ephesians, how does Paul direct his praise to God? How does he identify God? He is God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as God's relationship to his Son, the Father's relationship to his Son, Paul had his focus on that relationship as he utters this praise. And the focus throughout this passage, throughout Paul's word of praise, is going to continue to focus on the Father and on his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit also will enter into this as well. Paul blessed God. Paul praised him. And why? Because of God's work of blessing both the Ephesians and he himself. He blessed them with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And Paul recognized, and the Ephesians would have recognized, we are a blessed people. We have been blessed by God, and we have been blessed with spiritual blessings. But it's not just some spiritual blessings. It's all spiritual blessings. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And these are found in Jesus Christ. Now, is Paul and the Ephesians the only ones that experience these spiritual blessings, all of these spiritual blessings in Christ? I would say that we today, as believers in Christ, experience all these spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ as well. Now, what are these blessings? They are called spiritual blessings. They're also connected with the heavenlies. Notice what he says here. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So why are these spiritual blessings? Well, I submit to you, they're spiritual blessings because of their connection with the Holy Spirit of God. They're identified with the heavenlies, that realm where God chooses to manifest himself, or where he dwells, we could say. So they're spiritual blessings identified with the Spirit of God, identified with the heavenlies where God's throne is. They're spiritual blessings as opposed to earthly blessings. Now, there are many earthly blessings, many blessings associated with material things of this world, this passing world. But here Paul is talking about spiritual blessings, blessings associated with the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, there are so many earthly blessings, so many blessings connected with this fleeting life on earth. But the blessings for which Paul praises God in this passage are blessings associated with heaven, blessings associated with the Holy Spirit of God. And how do they come to us? They come to us through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And it's because we are related to him, because we are united to him, that we receive all these spiritual blessings. These are the blessings that Paul is blessing God for, or praising God. You notice in that verse how many times we read the forms of the word bless. We have blessed, we have blessings, we have blessed. You know, so three times. And of course, as Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's a word of praise. But then, it's God the Father, this blessed one, who is blessing us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul is mindful of the blessings God has showered upon him and the Ephesian believers. And really, all of us should be mindful of these spiritual blessings. Incredible blessings that we have in Christ. And we should be continually praising God for these blessings. Well, what are these spiritual blessings? You know, there are so many, we couldn't even name them all, no doubt. But if we go throughout the pages of Scripture, we can make quite a list of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Blessings that come to us because they're connected with Jesus Christ, because their connection with the Holy Spirit, and they derive from heaven as opposed to the earth. Now, we don't have to go to other books of the Bible to find these spiritual blessings, though we can find them in other books of the Bible. We don't even have to go any further in the book of Ephesians, any further than just a few verses later, because even as we look at verse 4, we see one of these spiritual blessings. God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That is a spiritual blessing. That's an incredible blessing. When you look at verse 5, God has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That is a spiritual blessing. We become part of God's family with all the rights and the privileges that go along with that. We look at verse 7. We have redemption through Jesus' blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. That's a spiritual blessing, isn't it? He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will. Those are spiritual blessings. So Paul here, as he talks about all these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, blessings that derive from heaven as opposed to the earth, it's like his heart is overflowing and just one blessing after another comes out of his mouth as he praises God here. So many blessings in Christ. And let's look at verse 4 now as we focus in on one of those blessings. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. One of those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ is the fact that God chose individuals to be holy and without blame. That's an incredible blessing. Because if we understand who we are apart from Christ, it is far from holy and without blame, right? We are ungodly, wicked, very blameworthy sinners without Christ. And Paul praised God for the spiritual blessing that God chose him to salvation. God chose to save him from his sin and rebellion. God chose to save Paul from his misguided thoughts and his misguided mission to destroy the church. God rescued Paul from his spiritual blindness, his spiritual ignorance. And Paul praised God for that. God chose me. And Paul extends his umbrella of praise, if we want to call it that, his focus of praise. God chose the Ephesian believers as well. What were the Ephesians like before they came to know Jesus? At one time, if we jump ahead in chapter 2, we read quite the description of what the Ephesians were like. At one time, the Ephesians, before they came to know Christ, they were dead in their trespasses and sins. Dead in their trespasses and sins. They didn't have life at all. They walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. They fulfilled the lusts of their flesh. They fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. They were children of wrath. God chose individuals such as this. God chose Paul. God chose the Ephesians. And Paul praised God for that. And God chose far more than those, more than just him and the Ephesians. God, in his infinite wisdom, God, in accordance with his perfect plan, chose certain sinners. And he chose to save them from their sin, to deliver them from death, to instead give them eternal life. Well, how do I know that I'm one of the chosen? Well, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, then you can realize without any doubt, yes, God has chosen me. Now, it's not that somehow God looked ahead into the future in some age past and saw that I was going to trust in Jesus and that's why he chose me. That's not how it works. God chose me because he chose me. I don't know what his reasons are. He has perfect reasons. He loved me, even though I was a great sinner. But God chose me because he chose me. And we don't know why, but that's his plan. That's his purpose. That's who he chose. And we praise God for that. Now, there are some that are perplexed about this teaching. Okay, very perplexed. There have been very heated debates and arguments in the church because of this doctrine called election. This is a scriptural doctrine. It's a scriptural doctrine. And Paul is praising God for this scriptural doctrine. This is a blessed teaching. This is a fact. It's not just a teaching. It is a teaching. But this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done for you if you have trusted in Jesus. So this should not perplex us. This should not disturb us. We shouldn't be troubled with the thought, well, God chose some and God didn't choose others. We should be thankful God did choose some. That he did choose me. That he chose you if you have trusted in Jesus. God saved us. He justified us. He declared us righteous. And so, in the present time, if we have trusted in Jesus, then we can look back in God's plan, or look back into the past, and we realize that at a point in time, even, look at what it says in verse 4, he's chosen us in him, in Jesus, when? At what time? Before the foundation of the world. Okay, before God created anything, before he ever said, let there be light, God had chosen me, and God had chosen you. He had chosen all these individuals, however many there are. He chose us to salvation. He chose us not because we would do anything good. Could we do anything good without Christ? We couldn't do anything good at all. So God didn't choose us because of anything good that we'd do, because we would only do bad things without his grace upon us. He chose us because he chose us. in our previous scripture reading last year, we became very familiar with Romans chapter 8. And this is what Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." We see a chain here. Okay, those that God foreknew, he predestinated. Those he predestinated, these are the ones he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. So now, if we look at our own lives and the lives of others, have I been justified? Have I been declared righteous because I've trusted in Christ? And if you can say yes, then you can trace your way back through this chain. Well, then I know that God called me to salvation at a certain point in time. Calling occurs in the present time. Okay? We can go even before that. We know that God predestinated us. God foreknew us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something to praise God for? It is. It's amazing. It's incredible. We should be thanking God for this. We shouldn't be debating about this. We shouldn't be arguing about this. We shouldn't be troubled by this. This is something to praise God for. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God is a God who chooses. You think back earlier, whenever we have Abram, who was an idolater, what did God do? God chose Abram. And he said, "Go to a land that I will show you." And of course, Abraham had a son, Isaac, and Isaac had a son, Jacob, actually two sons, Jacob and Esau, right? But Jacob was the one through whom the line would come. And Jacob was named Israel. And we find in Deuteronomy chapter 7, with regard to Israel, that God chose Israel as a nation. And we're not going to get into all the details of God choosing Israel, but God did choose that people as his people. And one day all Israel will be saved. Not saying that every single Israelite will have eternal life. That's not what Paul is taught in Scripture. But God did choose Israel to be his special people. Now, why did God choose Israel? Because they were anything special? Because they were this huge nation? No. Notice what Moses says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So God chose Israel, and God didn't choose Israel. He didn't choose Israel because they were this great and numerous people. They were small, they were insignificant. God chose them because he loved them, and because of the oath, the promise that he made earlier with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is nothing good or praiseworthy in Israel that prompted God to choose them. We can say the same of us as individuals. There wasn't anything good or praiseworthy in us that prompted God to choose us. Paul praised God, saying that he chose us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Notice that the God who chooses individuals in him, referring back to Jesus Christ. So it's because of Jesus, because he died, because he rose again, because of the salvation that is in him, this is how God is able to make individuals holy and without blame. Jesus is the key. And notice how God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, even as I've already made mention. So even before Adam was ever created, God in his infinite wisdom, according to his perfect plan, chose certain ones. And he chose them with the goal or the purpose of making them holy, making them without blame before him in love. So just as God is holy, God chose fallen sinners to be holy. He chose them to be morally perfect, without any type of blemish or defilement, morally speaking. They were to be perfectly, completely righteous, standing accepted in his presence. That's what God chose us to be. That's something to praise God about. And then notice, too, how it talks about that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, God chose us as an act of love, but I also believe that God chose us to be men and women who love. So yes, we should be holy, we should be without blame, but also we should be living lives of love. So love doesn't come naturally, does it? Not God's type of love. But God chose us to be individuals who will love God and who will love other people as well. We'd be characterized by true love. So this is a spiritual blessing. You know, can you think of any blessing greater than this? There are many great blessings, but this is one of the greatest blessings of all, isn't it? God should be praised very much because of his sovereign act of choosing individuals to be holy without blame before him in love. It's not because they merited it. It's not because of their actions. It's because of the merits of Jesus Christ. They would be in him. They'd be perfected beyond measure. So you see how Paul is lifting up his voice in praise to God. And we could continue on. You know, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That's a whole other area of praise, right? My original intention was to preach through verse 4, or not through verse 4, through verse 6. Preach through four verses. Then I realized I want to have a shorter sermon tonight because we're having communion. And so I very cut it off at two verses. But we could go on and on, couldn't we, for hours and hours talking about the blessings that God has bestowed upon us and praising God for that, even as we contemplate the greatness of those blessings. So next week, Lord willing, we'll focus in on this fact that God predestinated us to the adoption of children. Okay, this is God's doing. This is something to praise God for. God made the choice. He predestinated us that we would be part of his family. That's incredible. We praise God for that. And then notice it's according to the good pleasure of whose will? Of God's will. And who gets all the praise? Who gets all the glory? Well, God does, and what's especially emphasized, God's grace. Well, what does grace mean? It means favor directed toward us that we don't deserve. You see how all this connects together? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We're made accepted in Jesus Christ. All the glory goes to God. All the praise should be directed to him. Who are we? We are nothing except for the recipients of God's many blessings in Jesus Christ. He's the one who has done everything. So how eagerly should we, along with Paul and the Ephesians and how many other thousands of Christians, millions of Christians, we should be lifting up our voice in praise to God for his many spiritual blessings. God is so good. He showered so many spiritual blessings upon us. We are far from worthy. In our lost condition, we are bound for eternal death, eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. We're God's enemies before Christ. And God knew all of that. But yet God chose us to be holy and without blame. He chose us in Jesus Christ, even before he created the world. This is a great reason to praise God, isn't it? Now, there's so much more that Paul says here as far as praising and thanking God. And next week, Lord willing, we'll focus on verses 5 and 6. But this evening, we have much food for thought, don't we? We have much reason to praise God along with Paul. God chose us. God chose us in Jesus. It's in Jesus we have the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus we have eternal life. God is good to us. We need to praise him continually. We need to thank him always. So many blessings in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you have blessed us in Jesus Christ. You have bestowed upon us all spiritual blessings in him. And this evening we contemplated one particular spiritual blessing in Christ. I pray that we'd continually be thinking about these blessings, that we'd be praising you all the time, because you are so good. You give us grace that we don't deserve in the slightest. And so it's our desire to praise you. To praise you and your love for us in Jesus Christ. To praise you even for your choice of us, even before the foundation of the world. We stand in awe. We don't understand it all, but we don't need to understand it all. You are good. We love you. We pray that our love would grow more and more. We praise you for your goodness to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.